Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And again, like I said, welcome back, man. It's been a little bit of a break.
Yep.
We let the offseason kind of take its shape and run its course. We let the draft come and go. And now we are back to, one, discuss the offseason of our teams, the NFL offseason in general. Two, give our draft class their prospective grades, talk about how we feel about them, who our favorite picks are, things of that nature. But before we start off with that, I got to ask you, man, you know, the resident Lakers fan in the room, y'all season came to an end last night. How are you feeling?
Well, I did not see losing in five for sure.
Okay.
I definitely thought that the Timberwolves were a tough matchup.
Yes.
They're a very big team. Even without having a center, Austin Reeves is a pretty small guard.
Yeah.
And Anthony Edwards was just amazing throughout the entire series.
Right.
And going into game four, I think the game plan defensively was wrong. I think what they should have done, I don't understand how, based on this last game, you would have thought, if you just kind of like looked at the box score, you'd have thought that this game plan would never work. Was blown up that way. I was mind blown about how Rudy Gobert was able to play entire basketball games, taking 2 to 3 field goals.
Yep.
Scoring one, like, to play, they were playing, the Lakers were playing 5-on-4 defensively and still couldn't get stops.
Right.
I didn't understand that. And then in game five, Rudy Gobert obviously did have a career night.
Yes.
But a lot of that wasn't from him, like, taking regular, like, first attempt offensive shots, like them feeding him down low in the post. Mm-hmm. And he was getting a lot of offense rebounds.
Right.
And he was, his block shots is where he just had a monster game all over. But
right,
they still weren't making him force him to take the first shot.
Right.
Obviously, he's fine cleaning up the glass. And, you know, he's 7 foot tall. Obviously, he can do that.
Right.
But in terms of regular actual, like, post moves and feel and, like, scoring on his own, he does not show the capability of doing that. And I just don't understand how there wasn't a way to force the ball into his hands. Like, the same way on defense,
yeah,
like, can't hide somebody defensively. We're going to screen
right
until he comes and plays some defense. All right. Luka, they did it all game.
And Minnesota was doing it with Luka, too.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They did it with Luka. And so offensively, there's got to be a way to combat that. You can't just let a guy stand off in the short corner
right
and just do nothing and not be a single threat. It blows my mind because we have guys like that. Jared Vanderbilt is not a threat offensively.
He play last night?
He did. He plays.
He doesn't get consistent minutes.
He did in the regular season. That was right. Another thing. JJ, as much as I definitely gave him credit for winning 50 games in his first season, gaining the third seed, he did not coach to do his best job coaching in that series.
Right.
I think he was, I don't want to say desperate. It seemed like
I would use the word stubborn more than desperate.
Yes, that is a perfect word. I feel like he gets angry.
Yes.
And
he doesn't want to be wrong.
Yes.
Right.
He doesn't care. Well, I think it was game four,
where you played everybody this whole second half. Yep. All the starters the entire second half.
That's not a good decision. That decision a good coach makes.
Right. A rational coach makes.
Right. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but good coaches don't make that decision.
I think he needs to. I need to see more from him. I tweeted it last night. I was like, JJ Redick must have woke up this morning and said, "I want Rudy Gobert to have a career night." I mean, the fact of the matter is, Rudy Gobert had a career game because he was the only center on the floor. Like, that's literally it.
Even when Dorian Finney-Smith fouled out,
right,
he subbed in Alex Lynn. So I don't know what Jackson Hayes did
or didn't do
to deserve, like, not even a chance he's the tallest player on the team.
You're not playing Jackson Hayes. You're not even going small ball five with Jared Vanderbilt. You're not even playing. And granted, like, I know he's kind of been weird since the whole trade rescinded thing and everything, but don't connect. Like, before they traded him, he was balling for them.
I definitely think he deserves some minutes.
Right.
I mean, and Jared Vanderbilt, even when he played, he wasn't even given the defensive assignment to guard Ant for the majority of the minutes of that. So I don't really know what JJ's game
was. He seemed like he was all over the place.
Yeah.
First playoff series, first, you know, as a coach and all that. And I mean, the reality of the situation is the Lakers, I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't expect the Lakers to make a run this year just because Luka is so new to the team. And the team is not greatly constructed, right? They don't have a center, right? Yeah. And I personally, I'm a firm believer. I don't agree with the notion that in the playoffs, your bench gets smaller or the number of your rotation gets smaller. I don't agree with that. To me, you need to find a good 9-10 guys you can play. Because Tom Thibodeau, I don't know, you know, right now the Knicks are still playing the Pistons right now. We'll see. If the Knicks survive and advance, they're going to get bounced by the Celtics. But I mean, Tom Thibodeau, we've seen it. This philosophy doesn't work.
Correct.
If you only have 5-6 guys you feel like you can play, you're going to run them dry.
For sure.
Right? And if you're the Lakers with LeBron James, I mean, he's 40 years old, man. He can't be out here playing 48 minutes a night. Can't do it. Yeah. You just can't do it.
I think that, and as the resident LeBron fan, actually, I think that he definitely.
I mean, what was game four? He was like, he didn't score in the fourth quarter at all. Like, he was gassed.
Yeah, but he that's the thing. To not score in the fourth quarter, but still have, I think it was like 28, almost 30 points that game.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He is gassed. And I think I saw I don't know who it was, but someone basically said that it's almost kind of poetic that the exact thing that Anthony Davis was pounding the table for, demanding, get me a center, was the exact reason the Lakers ended up losing.
Dude, like,
in the playoffs.
You traded away Anthony Davis, right? You traded away your one true center you had. And then, because he wanted one, right? They wanted one more so he could play the four.
Right.
You trade him away, and now you need you need a four, you need a five, you need a backup five. Like, you need more. We're not going to get deep into the whole trade thing. Everybody's talking about, like, oh, is this vindication for Dallas now and everything? And I'm like,
yeah, I disagree with that.
Yeah, but no, stop. Like, whether you look at it short term or long term, man, the Mavericks lost. The only way the Mavericks can win this is if they run off a championship next year. Like, that's it. That's it.
Right.
That's it. And I don't anticipate that happening at all. So, yeah, man, the Lakers, they definitely got some soul searching to do. JJ Redick, I don't even know who, because he had some former head coaches on his coaching staff, right? Scott Brooks, right?
Yeah, Scott Brooks was definitely on the coaching staff.
It just seems like he might be tuning those guys out or whatever the case may be, because, I mean, I know you, did you see, like, he walked out of the pregame presser because he was upset at the media and everything, asking about, like, oh, like, are you listening to your assistant coaches? Like, do you talk to them about rotations?
Right.
Like, dude, like, it's okay. You know, you got those guys there for a reason. They're there to help you. They're there to advise you because they've been in that situation before. And, I've never believed in the playoffs, your rotation gets smaller. I don't get that. I don't agree with that. To me, I need to find 9-10 guys. I feel like I can play comfortably, right? Because it's the playoffs. You need guys to be able to play.
Right.
Because your starter's going to need rest. So, man, it's back to the drawing board for the Lakers. Got to go get a big man.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that can make next season be different is roster building. We need to construct a better team.
Right.
I think that JJ has proved he's a capable coach. in the regular season. I think with a better constructed roster, he would have been able to do a better job in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that's kind of what kind of sets coaches apart.
Yeah.
Being able to do things without the best roster constructed. So,
right. And like,
but at the same time, it's like you do need a better, he did need a better team constructed. Yeah. While at the same time, he made better
coaching decisions. Like, yeah. But two things can be right, right?
Right.
But yeah, all right. That's enough NBA talk, man. Let's get into it. The draft, we're fresh off the draft a week after it happened. Let's go ahead and just get this out of the way. I don't really care one way or the other about the whole Shador thing. Like, I mean, if you saw all the reports coming out and everything, like he did horrible in the interviews. He didn't care. He didn't show prepared.
I'm not going to lie. I feel very strongly about it. I absolutely 100% think he was colluded against.
Because of who his father is or because?
Because of his unwillingness to just be hat in hand, tucked African-American who's.
I'm not even going to.
I feel like that's exactly it. This, especially.
So then what do you say about Cam Ward?
That's my. And for people, I think that. That's even further proves the point. Cam Ward, the same. Oh, Cam Ward doesn't wear jewelry. Cam Ward's not flashy. Why do you have to be a specific type of black person to be a top round pick?
No, but Cam Ward talks a lot of jazz.
On the field, that's not really.
Cam Ward is a brash individual too, though.
I feel like he's not. I feel like he's seen as a way more quote unquote clean cut. Individual, I don't think the same way. It's Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel,
right.
Eli Manning, they're all allowed to act exactly like Shador was.
Well, I'll give you Baker and Johnny. I wouldn't say Eli, but
Eli Manning and Arch Manning walked into draft interviews and told the teams, "Don't draft us. Take us, do it," and try and demand it because when you're in that position, it's more of
leverage. They had leverage though.
Leverage of not needing them because he's not a poor player who's trying to get his whole family out the mud.
No, I think I'll be honest with you, I don't even buy into the whole stock that about should like it being a race thing. Truth be told, listen, if you show up in interviews, because it ain't like me personally, I don't even think Shador like put the world on fire in college. I really don't. Like his record at Colorado was what? I think it was like 12 and 13.
He was better than most of the quarterbacks drafted before him.
The Dillon Gabriel pick was shocking. Tyler Shuck, also shocking. I don't know. Jackson Dart. I mean, dude, listen, the reality of the situation is drafting a quarterback, like Cam Ward. Cam Ward could be the biggest bust, right? We don't know. Right, drafting a quarterback is a crapshoot regardless of where you take them. Right, the Browns. I mean, to me, the Browns are a whole mess in itself because I don't know why would you draft Dillon Gabriel and then go get Shador Sanders in the fifth round. Whatever. But I don't know. Like we've seen Cam Newton. Cam Newton with number one overall. We all know Cam Newton is not a clean cut individual. Fair.
That's true.
Okay. Right. Like I
think at a certain point, I agree that your talent can be undeniable.
Yes.
But
should he have gone fifth round? No, probably not. But
yeah, that I feel like that's pretty much all it boils down to. I feel like.
And don't waltz in here telling me,
I think it's a race thing because if he was white, it would be allowed. That wouldn't be that wouldn't have been a reason for him to slaughter
it. Could you bring up the Baker Mayfields and the Johnny Manziels? Like those two guys were Heisman Trophy winners and like their talent was way above Shador's, I feel like. So who's comparable to you that you feel like got a break? Because I don't feel like Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel are comparable. Talent-wise, I don't.
I don't think they were that far apart.
Johnny Manziel in high college?
Yeah, they were like...
first freshman to ever win the Heisman.
They were the individual talent that I see from Shador matches what they were doing. They were on
Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M.
They had Colorado. Like he has the because the Colorado Buffaloes were nothing. A&M and Oklahoma are vested. Schools with top five recruits all across the board.
I feel like you need to go back and watch Johnny Manziel and Tate.
I remember Johnny Manziel specifically.
Like, he was the first freshman to ever win the Heisman.
He was exciting for sure.
Like, watching Johnny Manziel, like, that was like an era, bro. Like, it wasn't,
I'm sorry. I don't like, I look at Shador playing college versus Johnny Manziel. It's night and day to me. I'm not going to lie.
I feel like...
Like, Shador could not do everything Johnny Manziel did on the football field in college.
I've seen Shador do things, and I feel like it might get kind of overshadowed by Travis Hunter being the person catching the ball.
Yeah, it can be easy like that.
I don't think... It makes it... What he's doing is also, like, that's the thing. It's not easy because he's throwing the... Because Travis Hunter is the one catching it.
It's not easy?
Yeah, it does, like... The thing is, like, the amazing plays they're making.
Uh-huh.
I feel like he didn't get his part of the credit for it.
Yeah, it's a two-way streak.
And I feel like that's where a lot of his, like, oh, was he able to do that kind of gets overlooked. I feel like what he did, especially because I'm not even a big guy. Like, we'll talk about it when we start talking about the Cowboys draft. I'm not even a big, like, O-line is, because, like, one of the first debates I can remember us ever having, actually, was whether or not the Cincinnati Bengals should draft Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell.
Right.
And I was like, no, you draft the wide receiver. Right. 1,000%.
And I still, to this day, right, feel like they should have took Penei Sewell.
And so in that sense, I think, but, and as a guy like that,
right,
I think that his Shador Sanders O-line kind of limited him what he was able to do.
Yes.
And even with that, I think he still showed the ability.
I can
definitely agree. He was not as good as Baker Mayfield or Johnny Manziel, but I just think that a lot of the times when there, I feel like there's less cases of a Cam Newton than there is a Baker Mayfield.
There are less cases of a Cam Newton than there. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just, look, man, you come in, you come in for a job interview, right? You can talk that talk all you want, but when it's time to sit down and, like, do X's and O's with, hey, look, you want to be the number 2 overall pick, right, to the Giants, right? You're sitting in there with Brian Dable. Have you seen the reports that came out?
I've seen some from, like, assistant coaches.
Basically, he was unprepared, Shador was, in the sit down with Brian Dable, like, you know, they're trying to break down tape. Brian Dable was trying to have him call out plays and whatnot and everything, break down film. He was unprepared. He had a cocky attitude about it. I believe at one point either Shador or Brian Dable cut the meeting short because it was just going so bad, right? Like, we've all heard the term fake it till you make it, right? Like, in job interviews, you might have to fake it a little bit, right? You might have to just come in, sit down, yes, sir, no, sir, whatever. I'm here. Let me break down the film. Let me just show you that I'm capable of doing this, right? Like, just put on a good front, right? You come in, because the reality of the situation is Shador Sanders thought he had leverage. Maybe his whole camp thought he had leverage. He didn't have leverage, right? Yeah, the Giants needed a quarterback, and we'll see if they regret taking Abdul Carter Jr. that high over Shador or whoever, right?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
But, you know, somebody said it, Ephraim Salam. I was listening to the Odd Couple the other week, and Ephraim Salam literally said, like, the NFL, he said Peyton Manning, no, I can't remember. Somebody told him at his rookie symposium, right? He said, the NFL does not need you to play football. No matter who you are, right? The NFL does not need you. You need the NFL. The NFL does not need you, right? Which, okay, you tell a hotshot rookie coming into the league, like, oh, like, bro, what are you talking about? But, like, no, look, when you really think about it, like, the NFL is always the biggest thing, right? Like, the players, don't get me wrong, the players make the NFL what it is, but the players need the NFL, right? Like,
right,
way more than the NFL needs the players. Like, they'll find, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I agree with that. And I think the NFL's problem with Shador is he doesn't need the NFL. He needs the NFL to continue to play football.
Yes.
But he doesn't need to continue to play football.
Right. This is true.
And that's
not, that's fair. Right?
That's not common.
So
I feel like that's kind of what it all boils down to,
right?
And that's where his arrogance comes from,
right?
That's where their problem with it all comes from,
right?
So
right, I mean should he have gone to the fifth round? Probably not. But
again, to me,
and I can see that his talent was better than fifth round, but his attitude is what got him there.
Yeah,
but
I just like, look, man, do you want to play football? Yes. Okay, then act like it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we know who your father is. We know you got a trust fund. We know you're set for life. We don't care about that, man. You want to play football? Show us that you want to play football. Show us that you want to be the leader of the franchise that you kept talking about. Show us that you actually want to change the culture. You know what I'm saying? But when you come in, cocky attitude, not prepared, given all this, you know, bag talk or whatever, like, man, like, you're shooting yourself in the foot, man. Look, should you have gone in the fifth round? No. I mean, Cleveland, I think Cleveland's a little bit of a dumpster fire right now with what they got going on, but.
This isn't just something with him, but I think I hate it for him. But
I will say, if Shador is really that guy, then, you know, somehow, some way, like, he will prove that he's that guy. Like, he'll get on the field, right? Like, because, you know, they got 2 first round picks next year. So all this talk about Arch Manning, who might not even come out, by the way.
Right? I don't understand how that's just automatically.
You know, there's all the talk of that. But I'm, you know, if Shador can, you know, figure it out, because Deshaun Watson, I don't think he'll play another down for the Browns. They got Kenny Pickett. They got Joe Flacco. They got Shador, and they got Dylan Gabriel. Right. So obviously at this point, I mean, maybe you head into the season, training camp, Joe Flacco is a starter. And you're just trying to see whether it be between this Dylan Gabriel or Shador, because we've seen that Kenny Pickett show. You know, which one of those guys can really establish themselves and get some playing time, you know? I mean, and the reality of the situation is, just because Shador got drafted in Cleveland doesn't mean he finished it in Cleveland, right? If he shows that he can, I mean, Joe Milton, y'all traded for Joe Milton. Granted, that's a bit weird because, you know, y'all got Dak and established starter, but nevertheless, right, if Shador shows.
For a backup because Cooper Rush is gone.
Right, right. But Joe Milton, well, you know, his camp was like, he wanted to go to a place where he could start. And I'm like, well, you're not going to start in Dallas, right? But whatever. But I'm saying with Shador, right? If he shows flashes, if he shows that he can possibly be an NFL starter, then yeah, somebody's probably going to trade for you. Because if Cleveland, you know, if Cleveland does what Cleveland does and they have a high first round draft in next year, sure, they're going to draft whichever quarterback's high up out there next year, whether it's Drew Aller, you know, Arch Manning if he comes out or whoever the case may be. So, you know, we all got to see, man. This is just a part of Shador's story. And, yeah, did he get humbled a little bit? I hope, because this process can be humbling. And
I'm actually surprised with him staying on the board that long that Jerry did not draft him. My brother and my dad actually bet, like, I don't know how much, for like 20. I might even be like 100
see,
bucks.
I didn't see that. I never saw that. I never saw him going there. I never saw Shador going to, you know, there was some talk of him going to the Raiders, and I'm like, no, Pete Carroll doesn't operate like that. Like, he just got his guy in Geno for the next 3 to 4 years.
Right, yeah. I thought that might have been a place before, but once they got Geno, I was right. Like, yeah,
no, Pete Carroll doesn't operate like that. It was going to be either the Giants at 2 or the Saints at 9. And I told Sherman, my friend, you know, the Saints fan, you know him. I told him, I was like, if he falls past y'all, like, it's probably a free fall because the Saints, I mean, Derek Carr, he might not play this year.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they drafted Tyler Shuck in the second round, so we'll see. But yeah, you know, Shador, man, look, you in the league now, man. You in the league now. What you going to do with it?
Yeah, you got your chance.
Right. Now it's time to prove it. So draft came and went, mm-hmm. Right? I want to, like, alternate. So I want, like, you to do your first round, then I'll do my first, and then we'll just go back and forth until we finish the list. Are you cool?
Yeah.
Okay, now before we get into this, I want to read y'all the text that Lando sent me as soon – and I mean, as soon as the Cowboys drafted Tyler Booker, I'm going to read to y'all what this man sent me.
This is a real, raw, authentic reaction.
Yep. Here we go. Quote, yet another complete miss by the Dallas Cowboys in the first round of the draft. I don't want to hear anything about team needs or being a solid pick. Anything other than an offensive skill player is completely setting the team back. He could be the best lineman in the entire draft, and it won't matter if Dak has no one to give the ball to other than CeeDee Lamb, end quote. Go ahead.
While I can agree that the pick has grown on me since it's installed, we can't change it, there's no point.
Right.
I've come to terms with it, but I still agree with that statement.
Okay.
I think that once, I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but Ted McMillan, the wide receiver drafted by the Panthers at 8, once he got drafted off the board, because it almost been confirmed that that's who we would have went with had he still been there,
right,
was off the board. I think I do agree that there weren't any receivers that were then capable that should have been drafted at 12. I just think they should have.
I think you could have made the argument for Matthew Golden, though.
While I did want us to draft a wide receiver and would have been more okay with Golden than Booker.
You had somebody else, Amari?
After McMillan, I thought that if I didn't think Golden was worth the 12th pick, I think they should have traded back. And they kind of let out that they weren't able to, but I think that there's a trade somewhere. I feel like that was, they didn't really try too hard because it was almost, I feel like they should have been more prepared for McMillan to be off the board at 12.
Right.
And I think that once that happened, they kind of looked for trades, didn't see what they liked, and just kind of grabbed somebody.
Yeah.
And I think while we did lose Zach Martin this year, I think
you had a hole at guard.
I think Brock Huff.
That's the backup?
It's something like that. His exact name was.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, though.
But I think I'm in the brain mind that.
Go
get the playmakers. And the guys that we have at Lyman can hold up long enough.
Are you sure about that, though?
Yes.
Okay, well,
depending on who the receivers are, if it's just CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Tolbert, no one can hold. I don't know who could hold up long enough.
Yes,
but that's the thing. Like, I'm just
so your overall like analysis of him so far, like your overall impressions of Tyler Booker. Fast forward a week from the draft. Is it a week from the draft now? Yes, but yeah. So
I just think that his contributions to the team won't mean anything. I think that
because all pro guard.
Yeah, that's why Dak Prescott can have 10 to 15 seconds to throw the ball to.
Yes.
And throws to stand in the pocket.
Right.
CeeDee Lamb is going to have a hard time beating double coverage.
Right.
And Jalen Tolbert, Kevontae Turpin, Jalen Brooks.
They mentioned your boy Ryan Florinor.
And he's looking good. Jonathan Mingo. have all proven to not have the ability to get open.
Yeah.
So there's going to be nothing we can do offensively. We grabbed a few running backs. We
got Jaden Blue
from Texas. So I feel like our running game might be a little bit better than it was last year, but
yeah,
that's not.
I mean, y'all got a few.
We got a few old veterans. I don't really see them making too much of an impact, but
Javonte Williams, maybe he can, because he was a good running back for Denver.
But like I said, it might be slightly better, but that's a crapshoot, so it might be slightly worse than it was last season. So
you're kind of just like, you would have preferred a skill position to trade back.
Prefer to trade back and still chosen the skill position first.
Yeah.
But chosen a later drafted skill position.
Because Luther Burden, I'm surprised he fell to the Bears in the second round. I think it was the third round, actually.
No, that was
kind of crazy.
I would have been okay with us.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how he fell that far. But no, I hear you, right? Like, different philosophies of how we build our teams. I hear what you're saying. You're asking me as an Eagles fan. I think it was a solid pick for the Cowboys. I think me personally, if I really feel like wide receiver is a desperate need, I would take the reach and take Matthew Gold at 12. You can't coach speed. Yeah, and he was really starting to come on, toward the end of the season for UT. He won the mid-20s to Green Bay. And like you said, man, because if you look at Carolina, right, like all the mock drafts had Carolina taking a defensive player, a linebacker, at 8, and they flipped the script entirely and said, no, we're going to give Bryce Young, which very smart on them. You're going to give your 5'11 quarterback a 6'5 target. I see what they're doing, right? Because they invested in the O-line heavy in the free agency last year, and it seemed like towards the end of the stretch, Bryce Young was starting to figure it out. The O-line was starting to figure it out. He started to look really good, so – they are helping their young quarterback. And I understand Dak, he needs help. For me, like I said, man, you want to help quarterbacks. Yeah, get them guys that can go make plays on the outside, but get them some protection. Because it don't matter who you throwing the ball to if you ain't got no time, right, in my opinion.
But my thing is, like, if you just look at the Eagles, y'all have one first-round O-lineman on y'all's roster. And y'all starting lineup.
Right.
We now have three.
We have Lane Johnson was the first. Cam was the second. Landon was Cam was the third. Landon was the second.
Mulata was
undrafted. Yeah. But truth be told,
we have the best O-line coach in football, right? But I can't.
If you look at the Super Bowl teams from the past 10 years, the most was the Seahawks in 2014, and they had two.
A first-round O-lineman?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you got to spend early draft capital on O-lineman, whether that's the first, second, third, fourth round guy. Like, you got to spend early draft capital on O-lineman, to me at least. That's my philosophy on it. But, I mean, I don't know, man. I think Tyler Booker, hopefully he's a good – well, you know, we'll see if he's a good player for y'all. I think it's a good pick because, I mean, again, I know Huff is his name. I can't remember his first name. But I know – I mean, regardless, you had a glaring hole at right guard, right?
But that – I just – the hole was there. I think the hole at wide receiver two was bigger.
Yes.
And I think that's the biggest hole on the team.
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
No, you know, only time will tell. We'll see. But getting into our first round draft pick, a few picks later, we selected Jihad Campbell, linebacker at Alabama. And man, when I didn't think he was going to be there because I seen like the mock drafts heading into it and everybody, like, they were starting to say like he's going to be there. I was like, oh, there's no way. I don't think Jihad Campbell's going to be there. Right? I really didn't think he was, but he had a labrum injury, hurt his shoulder. I had surgery on that, and he dropped a little bit, man, and he fell right into our laps. I love the pick. I love the pick because he offers a unique skill set to which he can play off-ball linebacker. He played off-ball linebacker mainly at Alabama, but the thing is, when you watch, or at least when I watched this tape, right, I was watching this all 22, and dude's a freak athlete, right? 6'3", 245, ran a 4.5 240, freak athlete. And, like, his straight line speed, his closing speed is insane. Like, he sees ball, he's there, right? Mm-hmm. I watch him play, and it's funny because it makes perfect sense. I watch him play, and I see a defensive end or an edge player trying to play off-ball linebacker because he was recruited as an edge player. Mm-hmm. So when I watch him in space, like, I'm seeing it like, okay, like, he's still trying to figure it out. Like, I see an edge player trying to play off-ball linebacker, right? I see it. Which, I mean, hey, he was able to do it at Alabama for a pretty high level, right? Even though he's still learning the position. A lot of people are saying, you know, he's going to, because N'Kobe Dean, he tore his patella tendon. So he's going to be out probably the start of this upcoming season. You know, a lot of people are anticipating that Jihad is slotted into that next starter role opposite of Zach Bond. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm in the minority camp. I think Jihad Campbell will probably mess around and be one of our starting outside edge guys. Like, I think we'll probably, me personally, and I could be totally wrong, I think his best football will probably be played on the edge. Like I said, a freak athlete. His straight line speed is insane.
Kind of reminds me of Micah.
Right, a little bit, right? Like, I mean, listen. Worst scenario, worst comes to worst, he's a guy that can play a little bit of both, right? Maybe he doesn't become a full-time starter, but he's a guy that can play a little bit of both. Then you could, I have wanted versatile chess pieces on defense for years. I wanted us to get Kyle Hamilton. We didn't do that with Jordan Davis. It worked out, right? At the time, though, I was mad at that pick. But I have wanted us to get versatile chess pieces, guys that we can move around all around the front seven, right? You can do that with Zach Bond. You can do that with Jahi Campbell. N'Kobe, not so much. But guys that you can move around different positions, right? So you can give the offense different looks so they don't know what to anticipate. I've wanted that. I'm glad we got that. Yeah, man, I love the Jahi Campbell pick. So moving on down the later rounds. Who did y'all take? Did y'all have a second round draft pick?
Yes.
Who did y'all? Y'all took?
It's a D.N.
Oh, Donovan.
Yes.
I liked him. I liked him a lot.
Donovan Ezeraku.
I liked him a lot.
Ezeraku, yeah.
Had Boston 16, College.
Yeah.
Had 16 and a half sacks his last season.
Yeah, like, so coming out of Boston College, so we're right now with Micah Parsons. We lost DeMarcus Lawrence. Side piece. DeMarcus Lawrence was one of my favorite players. I have a very strong disdain for players who
leave and talk that jazz.
Yes.
Okay.
And
so you're not a fan of DeMarcus Lawrence right now, then, I'm assuming.
Especially when it doesn't even make sense.
Uh-huh.
To say you had to leave Dallas because you had no chance to win a Super Bowl while going to play for the 2025 Seattle Seahawks makes no sense. You just wanted to take a dig at us. Why, even if it is true, or it was true for your tenure there in your career, just shut up. Go to Seattle and just plays it for them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just so I have a very that definitely rubbed me the wrong way.
Right.
So with losing to Marcus Lawrence, we also have Sam Williams coming back from an ACL tear last year, who was a second round draft pick, I think, in 2023 or 2022. It might have been a little earlier. He just missed all the last season. Basically, he tore his ACL before the season even started.
Right.
So he'll be coming in to that defensive end room.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're hoping we can get him integrated in that in college. Yeah,
I think he might mess around and start opposite of Micah, man.
I could definitely see that. Although I will say we also got Dante Fowler back.
Yes. Yes.
So I mean, that should be a pretty competitive room for number two spot.
Right.
Because like I said, Sam Williams, we called him Baby Micah because not only does he actually look like Micah, like facially, I mean, you can pull up it. They really like look alike.
Okay.
But he also plays like he is a little less disciplined, and it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
He can be, but as a DN, that can be a good thing and a bad thing, being all over the place. He's more kind of like a Tasmanian devil when he gets out on the field. So there's definitely a chance there. But I think that Mizoraku can start. He had 62 quarterback pressures rushing from the edge last season.
Right.
For reference, Penn State, Abdul Carter, who was the second coming to Micah, they got there. He only had 54 that season, so I mean, he definitely has a lot of talent.
Yeah,
and so I wasn't mad at that pick at all, especially with losing DeMarcus Lawrence. I was okay with that hole being filled.
Yeah,
just because after the second round, they passed on the skill position, they made it evident that it wasn't the direction they were going towards.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of started being more okay with the pick. So I was more happy about this pick than I was Tyler Booker.
Okay. Okay. Moving on for us in round two, I forgot exactly what pick he was. Number 64. We drafted Andrew Mukuba, safety out of Texas. I love Jahi Campbell, but I love Andrew Mukuba.
I hated that pick for y'all because it's a good pick.
It's a great man. Dude is a baller, all right? And he's literally built just like CJ Gardner-Johnson. It's kind of crazy, but he hits like a linebacker. He is literally always around the ball. He's a great tackler in space, great eye discipline. He doesn't get fooled by the fakes and the backfield trickery and all that. He is a downhill safety, but he's not just a box safety. I'm telling you, I was watching, I think they were playing Clemson, and he tricked Kay Klubnik. It looked like it was a cover two, or at least a cover two, a fake cover two. And he's in the middle of the field, and he's just sitting there, and Kay's about to throw a deep post. And have you seen the Ed replay?
Yeah, where he played
Phil Campbell. It looked just like that. Because next thing you know, Kay throws it. Andrew Mukuba is right there. Boom. Takes that thing, man. Picks it off. I love this pick. He has a chance to start right away. Because all the talk is about us bringing in Justin Simmons and everything because of his familiarity with Vic Fangio and all that. And I'd be cool with it. But honestly, Justin Simmons isn't getting any younger. You know, safeties, they tend to lose speed as they get older. So me personally, I love this pick. I think Vic is going to be licking his chops to get him in training camp and just deploy him all over the field. He can play in the slot. And I think he will really give Sidney Brown, Lewis Cine, I think he will truly give them a run for their money, man. I can't wait to see him step onto the field.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I watched him pretty closely at Texas.
Yep.
Being here from Austin. And right. So I know what he's capable of doing on the field. I know that was a great pick. That's how I know, it's a good pick when the rival team is like, dang, yeah, wish they wouldn't have got him.
No, it was a great pick. Shout out to Howie.
So then moving on to the third round, our next pick at 76, Siobhan Revell, or I don't know if it's Rice or Revell.
I think it's Revell.
Revell. So, I mean.
Yeah, he was almost a first round
draft pick. Yeah, I was about to say, a lot of people were saying he would have definitely been a first round draft pick had he not tore his ACL.
Right.
And they actually, the Cowboys team surgeon was actually the one who performed his ACL surgery. Oh,
okay.
So, I mean, pretty sure Cowboys have gotten a cop inside look.
Right.
Man, I don't know if that's even allowed, but.
Yeah.
So maybe they got an inside look, and with losing Jordan Lewis, which I'm very sick about that from a player standpoint, but very happy for him because, like, I've never been opposed to other players leaving the team. Like, when they, especially when it comes to getting that back, Tony Pollard going to the Titans, happy for you. Jordan Lewis going to the Jaguars, happy for you.
Right.
And especially when you leave, you either don't have much to say or have good things to say about the organization. Like,
right.
No, we don't. Obviously, if things don't work out, then things don't work out. But just move on. Enjoy the next chapter of your career. I feel like that's what Jordan Lewis has been doing.
Yeah.
So I wish him nothing but the best. And I think that losing him, drafting Revell Jr. is definitely going to be a solid pick. He was at East Carolina, which, I mean, obviously isn't one of the biggest name schools. It's not like, but I feel like.
Does that matter to you? Like, is that a big thing for you?
I was about to say, normally, I feel like maybe in with positions like O-line or trenches, but I feel like with corner, like, if you got it, you got it.
Yeah.
Like, you're guarding receivers, like, all throughout the, like, I feel like that's less of a problem.
Right.
With, like, skill players like that.
Really, man, we got Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I think ballers can ball, man, regardless of what school you go to.
What's his name?
What team?
Tariq Woolen was from UTSA.
I'm about him too. Yeah, right? Like, ballers can ball. Man.
For sure. So, definitely would have been, definitely not really harping on the fact that he was just at East Carolina, but I feel like he definitely has a chance to come in, and there's a spot open.
Right.
Even with just losing Jordan Lewis, Trayvon Diggs coming back from his ACL injury. Mm-hmm. So I think they said he might be back around training camp. Jerry Trayvon. Started talking about, because he tore his ACL pretty early, like, last season.
Right.
So, I mean, he definitely has the opportunity to step up and see what he can do.
Right. I don't think we had another pick in the second round. No. All right. Our next pick all the way in the fourth round. Fourth round, pick 11, Ty Robinson, D lineman out of Nebraska. We lost Milton Williams in free agency. This is our Milton Williams replacement.
Okay.
Dude is 6'5", 300, ran a 4.8 40. I mean, it's crazy. He's our Milton Williams replacement, but he's built like Jordan Davis. Very stout run defender. He has good hands. Very stout run defender, good hands. He has a pretty decent pass rush bag currently. He can play all the positions across the D line. 3 technique, 2 technique, 5 technique. He can play out on the edge. He can play in space. Ty Robinson is a freak of nature. And he's, like I said, he's literally built like Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis is 6'6", like 230. Ty Robinson is 6'5", 200, or 300, excuse me. You know, at Nebraska, he played all over the line for them. May play is very. He's a very stout run defender. He's very intelligent. He's very good at reading offensive linemen. You know, in terms of pulling gaps, feet, zone reads, all that stuff. Yeah, I love the pick though, man. I truly think Ty Robinson can develop. He can be our next Milton Williams. And you know, we just add to that rotating D line that we got. We just replenish that. And shout out to Howie on another good pick, man. I love the Ty Robinson pick.
Did y'all have another fourth round pick?
I think we took Ty, and then we had,
because we traded ours.
No, that was all the fourth round draft pick.
So yeah, we traded ours for Jonathan Mingo.
Right.
we essentially, our fourth round pick was Jonathan Mingo, so we'll see how he does. But then our next pick was our fifth round pick with the 149th pick. We picked Jaden Blue, running back from Texas.
Yes.
Who was definitely a solid back. He's very fast. He was playing behind Bijan and Jonathan Brooks.
Right.
But in 2024, 730 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns. He's a very good receiving back. He had 368 yards, 42 passes, and 6 receiving touchdowns.
Okay.
So he's definitely a dual threat. And with our running back room right now, he has nothing but opportunity to come in and win that starting spot.
Right.
I mean, we have Rico Dowdle coming back. We have...
No, he went to the Panthers.
Oh, I'm tripping.
I'm about to say, Rico Dowdle went to the Panthers.
Because I was thinking Malik Davis. We just cut Malik Davis.
Okay.
And so right now our running back room was Deuce Vaughn, Miles Sanders.
Javonte Williams.
And Jaden Blue. I think we might have signed somebody else. But yeah, so, I mean, it's nothing but the chance to come in and take that starting spot.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, love that for y'all. Our next pick in the fifth round, I believe it was 145. Yep, 145. Mack McWilliams, corner out of Central Florida. Smaller guy. I think he's about 5'9", 5'10". He could play outside and inside. He's very patient as a corner. Like, he doesn't get too hurried or too, you know, caught up in whatever the receiver is doing. Like, he's very patient. He's very steady in his technique from what I saw. I like his speed. He has good reaction time, and he has good catch-up speed. He'll probably be more of a special teams guy, you know, although, you know, we definitely need some depth behind Coop at the slot position because we lost Avante Williams. He went to Detroit. Or Avante Maddox, excuse me. He signed with Detroit. So, yeah, man, Mack McWilliams, super, super excited to see, get him in the defensive room. Like I say, he's probably going to be a special teamer, but it's okay. You know, we always need depth guys and guys that can play multiple spots in the secondary. Like I say, he played a little bit outside, played inside, and he seemed to be capable of doing both, even though, you know, like I said, he's 5'9", 5'10". But always, you never lack depth in secondary, right? Like, there's no such thing as too much depth in the secondary, so I'm not complaining about it.
I agree with that. So then moving on to our next fifth-round pick, the three picks later, we traded up to draft Shamar James, linebacker from Florida.
Right.
And so we gave up a fifth and a sixth-round pick. And, I mean, it's almost that same kind of philosophy. You can never really have too much depth at linebacker.
Yeah.
And right now we signed Jack Sanborn all this offseason.
Oh, did y'all?
Yeah.
From Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a solid depth piece. And then we had drafted Maris Leofau last season.
Yeah.
Damone Clark is still there. And then Demarion Overshaw, everybody.
Rehabbing.
Yeah, he'll be rehabbing. Everybody loved him, obviously. But with him coming back from injury, where they obviously see something in Shamar James, and I'm seeing basically hearing that he's like the perfect type of linebacker that Matt Eberflus likes, our new defensive coordinator.
How would you describe his style of play?
He gets sideline to sideline really fast. So he gets all over the field. I mean, he had 166 tackles last year. Okay. And so, I don't know, is that last season? I just know that. And so I saw his tape, and I remember specifically there was a game. Who were they playing? It wasn't last season, because I remember Princely Umani. I can't say, I've never been able to say his last name. He was still on their team.
Right.
But the plays I was seeing him make, he was definitely like, he was getting downhill fast.
Yeah.
Once he saw the ball, the way he was able to plant his feet and get to the ball fast was definitely something I liked.
Yeah.
So as a depth piece, I'm definitely liking what I'm seeing, because like you said, that you can never have, like I said, based off what you say, you can never have too much depth at linebacker.
Right.
So it's definitely something I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Okay. Solid. A few picks later, we took Smile Munden Jr., linebacker from Georgia, fifth round, 161st pick. He ran a 4.58 40. He scored first in the athleticism category for all linebackers at the draft combine. So you can, I mean, obviously dudes of freaking nature. Very good blitzer from what I saw on tape. Always run the ball. Good closing speed as well. He seems to be pretty good in coverage. Georgia just has a knack for developing good linebackers, man. You know, Roquan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, Quay Walker, Jalen Walker. Smile Munden, you know, they just have a knack for developing good off-ball linebackers, right? Kirby Smart and his crew down there in Athens, man. So Smile Munden, honestly, like I said with Jahad Campbell earlier, in my mind right now, what I see Jahad Campbell more so out on the edge. I see Smile possibly getting his way into the inside linebackers. Yeah, man, I like I said, regardless of, you know, he's probably going to start on special teams, right, being a fifth rounder or whatever, but you never know. You know, an opportunity comes knocking, but
Parmer starting off as a special teamer. I think he can definitely work his way into the defensive rotation. And, you know, just another athletic Georgia Bulldog in the house at Philly, right? Might as well call it the Philly Bulldogs at this point. Definitely like to see what he's capable of doing down the road. And, you know, like I said, like we've been saying, you can never have too much depth at the linebacker spot. You can never have too much depth at any position in football. Let's just be honest. So, yeah, man, very, very happy with that pick. Smile London Jr. Love it.
All right, so moving on to our sixth round pick, we got Ajani Cornelius. He's he played pretty much all his time at right tackle in college. Okay. He was at Rhode Island first and then transferred to Oregon.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we saw what Oregon did this season. Obviously, they fell short, but throughout the majority of the season,
they steamrolled guys.
Literally steamrolling everybody. And they also say that he has the ability to play guard, so he can kind of switch around if he needs to.
So the other O-line is key.
Which is definitely something that we have plenty of experience with. Our entire O-line right now is the only person who's kind of just like
playing in their position
is Terrence Steele. Tyler Smith has kind of can move all over the place. Tyler Guyton, I think he was a right tackle.
He was a right tackle. Yeah.
Then Brock Hoffman, and that's the thing. That's his name, Brock Hoffman. He's been all over the place. So
yeah,
he fits right into what the Cowboys are looking to do.
Right.
I think he might. Being that kind of late of a pick, they're thinking he might need some work. So
yeah,
we'll see, but. Definitely a depth piece, which is kind of where our O-line is right now. He fits right in there.
Right. Okay. Staying in the fifth round for us, a few picks later after Smile, at pick 158 in the fifth round, we took Drew Kendall, center/guard from Boston College. Ran a 5 flat as a in the 40. Good athletic trait from what I saw. He's a fast puller. He can play guard and center. Like I said, versatility at the O-line spot is really good. And I really, honestly, I wrote under all our O-line picks. I literally just put like potential next gem under Jeff Stoutland. His dad, Drew Kendall's dad, was a first round O-lineman for the Seahawks in the 90s. And yeah, man, you know, for me personally, I'm thinking, you know, that right guard spot is kind of open for us right now. You know, we traded for Kenyon Green from Texas. We re-signed Matt Pryor, brought him back. After a few years away from the team, we still got Tyler Steen, but you know that guard spot could possibly be open, man. So if Drew Kendall can come in, you know, hey, we took Jason Kelsey in the sixth round, man. You know, Jeff Stoutland, man, he sees traits, he sees guys, and says, you know what, I can do something with him. So that's what I'm thinking, man. This is another project for Stout, and I look forward to seeing what he can do down the road.
Definitely, y'all found nothing but gems throughout the entire draft at O-line. Mm-hmm. So. It's definitely some credibility to that.
Yes.
So, and moving on to the seventh.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Seventh round for us with the 217th pick. We picked Jay Toya. He's a defensive tackle from UCLA.
Yeah, okay.
He is 325 pounds, 6'3". They're hoping he can be more of a run stopper. Even in that was kind of his role in college. He only had, I think, like 19 pressures, 3 sacks.
Yeah.
But obviously, if we're looking to pair him, kind of be somebody like we're hoping we're still giving Mozzie the chance to kind of develop into. We're kind of hoping that somebody can fill that role. You know, that big guy right in the middle, filling up, occupying space, taking up blockers. So, obviously he's shown the ability to do that, so hoping he can step in. Our defensive line, I mean, we signed Oso Digizua, which I was very happy about, and at this point we're waiting for Mozzie to step up. So if he still hasn't shown the ability to do that, This will give Jay the opportunity to kind of see what he can do.
Right So for us, now we're in the sixth round, pick 181. We took Philly's very own Kyle McCord, quarterback, Syracuse. Full disclosure, y'all know I'm a Michigan fan. Kyle McCord was the quarterback at Ohio State, but I'll give him a pass because he transferred to Syracuse. he led the FBS in passing yards this past season. From what I saw on film, he was a quick decision maker, throws with anticipation, And honestly, man, that's a good potential QB3 for us. You know, we traded for Dorian Thompson Robinson from Cleveland earlier. We'll see. We still have Tanner McKee. I'm still a Tanner McKee guy, man. All right. I truly believe Tanner McKee should be QB2 in Philly until proven otherwise. Common Core, not a great athlete, but like I said, quick decision maker, throws with anticipation. Look forward to seeing what he could do in, you know, preseason. I'm sure he'll get some work. And yeah, man, you know, just you know, adding to that quarterback room, man.
All right. So
was that your last pick for the Cowboys?
No, we have
okay.
Yeah, we have two more. So we have two more seventh round picks. Our next one, pick 239, Dale Moffa, running back from Clemson.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so with
Jaden, he was Blue, nice at Clemson too.
Yeah, definitely. Jaden Blue was a really fast running back. Phil Moffa was more of a ground and pound, just like bruiser, physical running back.
Yeah.
In his last year at Clemson, he had 1,115 yards, 8 touchdowns. And I mean, but like I mentioned earlier, it's a pretty crowded running back room right now. And I mean, the
case was crowded, but like y'all don't have a number one guy.
Oh, yeah. No,
right. So like it's open.
It's crowded, but open for sure.
And, right.
Because like I think we have five running backs right now. And I mean, obviously, if I had to, and we usually carry around four through the 53-man roster, I think if I had to pick one out of Phil Moffa, Jaden Blue, Deuce Vaughn, Miles Sanders, Javonte Williams, probably say Miles is who's the most likely to get cut. Just because if they're going to keep four, I feel like they'll probably keep the guys. They just use draft capital on that.
No, those guys got 4-year contracts. We're going to see what they can do.
Right. So, and yeah. I feel like at this point, Javonte Williams will probably have more in the tank than Miles Sanders would. So, looking like that, I'm guessing if I had to predict what our running back room was, that's what it would be.
Right.
Now, in terms of who steps up into that starting role, like we said, it's open. That job's open for anybody.
Right.
I have a hard time believing that it'll be Deuce, just given his size and stature. But
no disrespect to Deuce. Right. All right, Deuce, we love you, man. Shout out to you making it to the league. It's not going to be Deuce.
He's shown the ability to be serviceable.
Yes.
I think we can get a lot more packages in with him in it. But
yes,
in terms of starting, this is most likely going to be one of those three.
Right.
Probably, if I had to guess who starts, because it's hard, because two of the potentials are rookies, and we don't know what Javonte Williams has, so we can just move on. Right. I don't know who it's going to be.
So we had three more picks in the sixth round. Now, I put two of them together only because they're both tackles. We took Miles Hinton. We took him tackle from Michigan. You know, my Michigan man, pick 191. We also took another tackle at 207, Cameron Williams out of UT. For me, man, both, honestly, I think Cameron Williams is a bit of a better athlete than Miles Hinton. Mm-hmm. Miles Hinton, is, you know, he's 6'7", 323, but he's like a stout 6'7". Cam is, I can see the athletic traits in Cam. Miles Hinton, like, he was good. Like, he was a starter at left tackle for us we won the national championship 2 years ago. You know, like look, man, like I said, every O-lineman we draft, man, I really think Jeff Stoutland sees something in these guys innately, and he feels like he can, you know, build something out of them. And also keep in mind, Lane Johnson, he's closer to retirement than we think. And, you know, if we can find his replacement, his successor in the sixth round, and if Jeff Stoutland can have a season or two to really develop these guys, then, yeah, we got our next right tackle of the franchise for the next decade, right? So I'm here for it. I'm fine with it. Was that y'all's last pick?
We got one more
pick. Okay, go ahead.
And before I say it, speaking of Lane Johnson's retirement, I want to give a shout-out to, I already mentioned Zach Martin, losing him. That was to retirement.
Yes.
And also Tyron Smith.
Retired as a Cowboy.
Yeah, he signed a one-day contract to retire as a Cowboy, which I feel like should have happened. He should have never played for the Jets, but I'm never going to be mad at a player going to get an extra contract, going to get an extra couple million dollars to support their family. Because obviously once they've done that, they're, especially given Tyron, I don't know if you know, but he actually went through a lot of personal issues with his family regarding a lot of financial issues.
Right,
so
never
going to be mad at that. He's got people to take care of. So definitely big shout out to him. Two of the best O-linemen in Cowboys history. Mm-hmm. And I feel like although they never played for winning teams, obviously, in terms of Super Bowl or like high playoff success.
Hall I think of Famers for sure.
They both definitely should deserve to be a Hall of Famers. I mean, Zach Martin had more, he gave up less, he had more Pro Bowl selections and sacks given up. Sorry. Right.
No, yeah.
I think, yeah, just want to give both of those guys a shout out for naming this last pick,
right?
Which was with the seventh pick or the seventh round. Yeah, 247th pick, we drafted Tommy Akinbesote, okay. D tackle from Maryland.
D tackle. Okay.
Another guy that kind of supports what Brian Schottenheimer, who's been on record saying that our new head coach has been on record saying that he feels that the game is won in the trenches.
Yes.
So we obviously used the first round pick on our O lineman, drafted three D tackles. Drafted another right tackle a little bit later. So that kind of supports that. He's definitely trying to build through the trenches right now.
Yep.
And Tommy is 6'4", 320. So he's right around the same size. Mozzie, right around the same size as, I forgot his name already. Jay Toya.
Jay Toya, yeah.
Yeah. So they're all around the same guys. They want some guys in there that can occupy space.
Right.
Watch his film. He actually has really good hands down for to be in the trenches. Mm. He once he gets his hands engaged, he's really good at, you know, kind of moving the O lineman out of the way.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's definitely, I wouldn't say a steal. I mean, he's a seventh round pick, but he's got a lot of talent. So he has the potential to be a steal.
Yeah.
One of the last picks.
And that finishes our Cowboys draft.
Finishes our 2025 draft.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and round out Phillies. In the sixth round, pick 209, we finished out the draft by selecting Antoine Powell Ryland, edge from Virginia Tech. Ran a 4.6940. He had 16 sacks last season, 20 tackles for loss. From what I've seen on film, he has a good blend of speed and power, quick first step, solid closing speed. What he lacks at, I wrote this down, what he lacks at athleticism, he makes for in his deep bag of pass rush moves. He has a very deep bag. His spin movement is insane. I'm not like, I saw him, I forgot who they were playing. I think it was Miami. Man, he gave that tackle to work. It was crazy. I put, he could be another Josh Sweat for us down the road. We lost Josh Sweat to free agency, you know, went to Arizona, go get your bag. Nothing but respect to Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat was a fourth round draft pick, injury prone guy at Florida State. Everybody, you know, he was a top recruit out of high school, but you know, went to Florida State, battled injuries, fell to the fourth round, fell to us. And you know, he kind of, you know, he had those athletic traits, but he had to develop a few years. And while Antoine, I mean, he has 4.69 speed, so he has athletic traits. I don't like watch him and see Josh Sweat, but I do think he could be a very productive player for us. I mean, look, man, dude had 16 sacks last year for Virginia Tech. And yeah, man, we just, like I said, we just keep adding to the rotation of D linemen we got, edge guys we got, linebackers we got. For me, for Howie Roseman, it was very evident for him. We obviously, because you know, for the free agency, we lost a lot of key guys on defense. So for Howie, clearly, very evident, we're gonna reload on defense, which we did. My overall draft grade for this class, I'm not gonna lie, I give it an A because we addressed holes and we got guys that can not only be serviceable starters, but could possibly be Pro Bowler down the road if given the right development and coaching and training. Yeah, man, and I really do love this draft. I look forward to seeing what Jahi Campbell could do, Andrew Makuba, even all the way down to, you know, Antoine Powell Ryland, man. I like the guys we got, and I look forward to seeing what this class does.
Definitely. If you had to give the Philadelphia Eagles an overall grade for the draft, what would it be?
It would be an A, man.
Okay.
It would be an A. How would you grade the Cowboys draft?
I know that first message might have seemed a little dramatic, but after, you know, I think that had the draft in itself wasn't bad, I'd say like a B minus.
Okay.
But the refusal to do anything in free agency,
yes,
is what kind of makes it look worse than what it might actually be.
Right.
And I feel like, say we had we went and got one of those available receivers, a Stephon Diggs, who else was available? Amari Cooper still available.
Amari Cooper still there. Keenan Allen still available.
Who are some guys that actually, DK Metcalf's on a different team.
DK Metcalf got traded.
There were
Christian Kirk got traded.
Christian Kirk. Had we got one of those guys and then had this draft, I might be saying A+.
Right.
with that big of a hole filled already going right. into the draft, and all these other smaller holes being filled would have been amazing.
Right.
But we didn't do that. So in the draft of itself, I'd just still say like a B minus. So it wasn't a terrible Not draft.
Bad, yeah.
We definitely filled some smaller holes we had, but there's still a big giant hole we're going to be facing.
Yeah, wide receiver too. Yeah. Right. No, I get it. What would you say? What is your favorite draft pick? Like, who are you most forward to seeing like play and develop?
Honestly, Jaden Blue. I think that, especially like I've said a couple of times, the opportunity will be there. Yeah. The opportunity will be there for a lot of guys, but right. that running back room is one of the most like undetermined, up in the air, like who's going to start for us.
Right.
And running back is one of the most important positions on the field. So I feel like he'll definitely have that opportunity. And if we're able to get that production out of him with a third round pick, that'll be great. And I'm really hoping he can, you know, kind of show that speed here in the NFL.
Okay.
What about you?
For me, it's got to be Andrew McCuba, man. I love him, man. Like, I love him already. You know what I'm saying? He's a football guy. He's a baller. He's like I said, he's built like CJ. He hits like a linebacker. And I still hold hope for Sidney Brown. I still think Sidney Brown could be a good starter for us long term. But I definitely think Andrew McCuba is going to push somebody. And Reed Blankenship, I love Reed. I'm done questioning Reed Blankenship. That dude is a ball hawk for us. But you know, we got an open safety spot opposite of him, and I really think Andrew McCuba can challenge somebody for it, man. I definitely think he's gonna get on the playing field regardless. And you know, he can play slot too, man. So you know, when we have Coop, we have Quinyon, we have Sidney, we have Reed, we have Andrew. You know, we got a lot of different things and a lot of different looks we can give offenses, man. So I look forward to seeing Andrew McCuba develop under Vic Mangio. I look forward to seeing how Vic Mangio is going to deploy him. And, yeah, man, it's going to be a fun ride watching him, man. I mean, because, shoot, man, last time we drafted a Clemson safety pretty high. Well, I granted, he finished off at UT, but last time we drafted a Clemson safety high, man, it was Brian Dawkins. So, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, like, wonder how that went. Hey, right. So, yeah, I know Andrew McCuba, UT guy, but
nah, man. Yeah, very excited to watch him play, grow, and develop, and can't wait to see him on the field.
Definitely, man. I mean, hate to see him in the Eagles uniform, but I can't.
He wants another ring, man. Let's go.
It hurts to say I can definitely see his career becoming everything you think is going to be.
Yes.
I watched a lot of Texas football, specifically their defense.
Yes.
And he was, like you said, always near the ball.
Field, dude.
Flying. So, yeah, it's definitely a great pick for y'all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Before we head out of here, I definitely want to give a couple more shout-outs to some of the hometown guys for getting drafted.
Go ahead.
Jahdae Barron out of Conley High School.
20th overall to Denver.
Broncos.
Yes, sir.
There was Princely Umami. It's like Umami, and I can never say his last name. He's going to be mad at me for that.
Carolina Panthers
out of Ole Miss, started at Florida. Taj Brooks out of Maynard High School.
Yes.
Him and Princely, both of out of Maynard High School.
Where is Taj? Taj went to, okay, yeah, you're right.
By the Bengals. And then Cedar Ridge's own, my alma mater, Marcus Bryant.
Yes, he went to New England.
Yeah, drafted to the Patriots. So had a few guys from the from locally around here get drafted. So that's always awesome to see. Definitely give a big shout out to those guys.
Yeah, man. Shout out to all you guys that got drafted, man. Not only, you know, Austin guys, but everybody, man. I know it was a dream come true for a lot of you guys. So congrats, and hey, man, make the most of it.
Facts.
Make the most of it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for this draft class recap episode for Birds of the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And we will be back on a consistent basis sooner rather than later. So be on the lookout. Stay tuned on TikTok. Stay tuned on YouTube, Instagram, all that. We will be back on a consistent basis sooner rather than later.
I'm excited for football to be back.
Yes.
It's coming back.
You and me both, my friend.
It's that time of year, you know, that after the draft, it's not too long and you got mini camps and OTAs and stuff like that. Yep. So it's picking up.
It's hopeful right now. For all for fans of all 32 teams, it's hopeful season right now.
More hopeful for some teams than others.
Yeah. I'm sure I feel way better about my team than say the Cleveland Browns.
But hope nevertheless. You never know.
They got Shador. They got it.
like I said, we'll catch y'all soon.
We'll be back.
We'll be back soon, man. Stay tuned. Stay on the lookout. Like, comment, subscribe. All that. You know the drill.
Hit that notification bell so y'all know when we post.
Yes.
Like it up.
Yep, yep, yeah. Well, on that note, folks, we'll catch y'all later. Peace.
Later.